verse, Romans 6:4, and the title of our message is The Newness of Life. I was just thinking about technology while we were worshiping. And, you know, technology is supposed to give us, well, it gives us more information. It gives us a better way of doing things, hopefully. Does it really fill us with a better life? I suppose that's debatable. But one example, I was catching up with an old student friend of mine, and we were texting back and forth and wishing each other Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and such, and catching up on things we're doing. So he asked me what I was doing now, and I said, well, I'm pastoring a church in El Centro. But when I wrote out the text, my spell check changed pastoring to pestering. So I hope I'm not pestering you all this morning. So, but as far as my former students concerned, I'm pestering a church in El Centro. Isn't that something? The newness of life. The reason I picked this verse is, of course, because we're in a new year. And upon reflection, when you look back a year ago when we're thinking about 2020 and, you know, how when you think of 2020, what do you think of better vision? Or at least our youth when we didn't need glasses or corrective lenses or anything like that. But we had no idea what was coming our way, did we, in 2020? We had no idea. But when we look back, we have to take stock. And really, when we come to the Lord in prayer, like we just did, we have to do some soul searching now, don't we? And really try to get an understanding of what God is doing now, 2021, because we still have all of this world condition with us. And yet, when we look to the scriptures, when we know we have a Lord and Savior that loves us, we know that no matter what we go through in this life, we know we're loved, we know we have a future, we know we have hope, we know we have family, we know we have the good things of life. And yet there's like those we just prayed for and beyond that are struggling. It's hard to understand all of this. But God in his ways is using this. We've sensed it, Margaret and I've sensed it just in our own prayer life, how our prayer life has just gone so much deeper now. Because tomorrow is promised to no man. And we have these case histories, case studies, people we know that one day they're fine, next day they're gone. Young people, even in their 30s. And it's inexplainable. Somebody would come up to me and say, Brad, you know, what's going on? How could God allow this to happen? Those are tough questions to answer, aren't they? But we know God is good. We know we can trust him. We know he has a perfect plan. We know he can use all of this for good. So we hang in there and we continue to trust him. We continue to search for answers, and they don't always come. But we know that this world is not the way God created it. We know this is a fallen world. And COVID-19 and pandemics and violence and riots and wars are just part of the sinful nature of man. So times like this drives us to prayer. And another thing the Lord is showing us is that God is answering prayers in dramatic, wonderful ways. And if we're called to leave a mark on here, as long as we're going to be here, however long the Lord has us here, we pray the prayer life of this church goes to a whole nother level. And if it's a pandemic that's going to cause that, if it's the condition of our church, if it's a combination of things, what we're going through individually, whatever it takes, let's go to God in prayer and ask Him for help in our time of need. Let's pray before we get into the scriptures. Lord in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this another beautiful day you've given us, God. We're so grateful that we can assemble outside and still be comfortable, Lord. You have a word for us today, so help us to take it to heart. And we do pray for all those that are hurting and suffering. And thank you for all those that are joining us on Facebook as well, and those that can't be here. Lord, we just pray we can all assemble together very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're in Romans chapter 6. Just one verse this morning, verse 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So again, I picked this scripture. I believe the Lord gave it to me because the new year is, if you've ever played baseball, the best game of the year is the first game. Or if you're a baseball fan, like opening day is the best because everybody's batting 1,000, everybody's undefeated, everybody has a perfect record, everybody has the hope of going to the World Series, everybody's hope that gets through the season without any serious injuries. You know, there's all this hope. Hope abounds in baseball. I love baseball. But the new year is kind of similar to that. You're thinking, can we start over? Can we just ignore 2020 even happen? No, because we're carrying so much into it. But how can we look at this glass as half full and not half empty? How can we see that God is doing good things through all of this and God is moving? And how can we get in step with Him? And I think this verse helps us do that because when we look at the newness of life, the first question is, especially if you're a non-believer or a new believer, is how do we get there? How do we get there from here in a life that, you know, many are struggling? How can life be new when life is horrible in many cases, or terrifying, or threatening, or whatever the case may be? We're going to look at three main points here. Number one, the key to everything is the death to sin. Again, we're in a sinful world, and we have to deal with our own sins. Secondly, life in Christ. And we'll talk about that. And thirdly, of course, the newness of life that are all illustrated here in this one verse. The context is that Christ died so we could live. And if we can embrace that simple truth, if we can truly see God's love demonstrated for us in a new and fresh way as a church body, so that we can carry that message as we walk through this life day in and day out, what do we need to do differently? I go to, like I've mentioned before, maybe a stadium with 100,000 people there. And you look around, or Disneyland with, you know, 500,000 people there, whatever, a place that's, or just the freeway. A lot of people are heading west this morning, and you think, how many of those people are saved? How many of those people really know Jesus? How many people are walking with the Lord? How many people on this earth today are really saved? You know, when you really think about it, I always get sad because I think it's probably really a small number, smaller than maybe we really think. I think there's, it breaks my heart to say, but I think there's a lot of room in heaven still. Maybe that's why the Lord is tarrying. He's trying to fill up that place. And we have our part to do, don't we? And it starts with dealing with sin, whether our own or someone we're praying for or a family member who's struggling with a certain sin. And our lives need to reflect, really the big message today is about forgiveness. We have to live with the understanding and the knowledge that we are forgiven for our sins from the past Our sins for today and our sins for the future. That's the power of the cross. In the verses just before this, in Romans 6, 1 through 3, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? So we have to embrace the death of our Savior on the cross because he did it for us personally. And that's the first step for all of us, isn't it, in being Christians and always being thankful. When we go to heaven, when we're in eternity, we are going to be worshiping Jesus for his love for us. And that is not something that gets old or gets caught in tradition or gets caught in just in many years even of being a Christian. It never gets old, does it? It's always fresh. His love for us is always fresh. It's always new. And that's a blessing because he's changed us for the better. He's reconstructed us, if you will, and helped us with our sin nature to turn it into something good. But nevertheless, it's still there, isn't it? Psalm 4:4 says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. So the psalm is calling us to take to heart the fact that there's evil all around us right now, spiritual warfare going on right now, attacking us, distracting us, trying to cause us to think about other things besides how good God is and the faith he's given us and the blessings we have and the needs of others. He wants us to do what? Just be selfish and live our lives according to ourselves, get isolated and not get involved in the things of God. So we have to be aware of that sin is all around us and take it to heart and understand what we need to do about it. What's our role in all of this? Jesus gives us life from his death. And when we see that truth, that biblical truth, it's what helps us carry on. Without Christ, we're dead in our sins. We're bound for hell. You know, the message of the gospel is offensive when we declare that to a non-believing world. We are born with an evil, sinful heart. We have our little granddaughter that we're celebrating right now, but she's a sinner. And it's hard for me as a proud grandpa to admit that, but she's a sinner nonetheless. You go to the maternity ward at the hospital and it's just a bunch of sinners lying there, isn't it? And they know how to perform quite well. And we know Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? God knows it. God knows our hearts. And he knows our tendency to wander. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the joy we have in Jesus is he demonstrated his work on the cross in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 3:23. Our message today is about newness, about God making all things new. And in the Bible, this concept of newness is mentioned several times. In the Psalms, it talks about a new song. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new. He said that which has been and is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun, right? And the longer you live, the longer you realize that there's nothing new. Maybe technology, to a certain degree, and this information age we live in, but does it give us a full life? I think that's a debatable point. Isaiah 43 declares that God's going to do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When you get saved, when you're walking with God through your life, Jesus is the one that keeps it fresh. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to wake up in the morning and at least wonder what God's going to do in our lives today. That's how we should live. A fresh life, a full life, a new life in Christ is keep our eyes fixed on Him. No matter what this world throws at us, like COVID or personal tragedies, we know that we serve a faithful God that's going to make all things new. His mercies are new. Lamentations 3:22 through 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Aren't you thankful that God's mercies are new every morning? It's what gives us a fresh start. It's like we come to God in prayer. We say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Lord, thank you for your mercy upon my life. And then you grow in grace and you say, Lord, thank you for the grace that now I'm able to have this free life in Christ so that I can truly live a full and fresh and new life in Christ. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Our loved ones that we're praying for that don't know the Lord have a heart of stone when it comes to the things of God because they don't know this love. They don't know that life He breathes into you, that loving, peaceful spirit He gives to you until you receive Him. But when you're walking in the world and you're just thinking this is the way it is and there is no better life than what I've got right now, you know, you just embrace that failure because you're blind to the things of God. And we have to remember that when the people we're praying for in this world that we're praying for is ignorant of the things of God because they choose to be, because they were maybe raised that way or horrible things have happened to them and they just come to the conclusion that a loving God could not allow for bad things to happen to good people. They come to that conclusion, but why are we here? We are here to help correct them, to love them into God's kingdom by saying, look, I haven't lived a perfect life. I've had horrible things happen to me, but look what God has done. And you give Him the glory and you walk with them, like you walk a mile in their shoes, so to speak, and say, brother, sister, this isn't it. This isn't what life's all about. There can be a new, fresh, and wonderful life with Jesus. Just open your eyes to it. And you share your testimony. And you love them and love them and pray for them and love them some more and pray for them some more. And it could take years, decades, a lifetime even. But it's worth it. It's so, so worth it. And of course, the greatest new thing of all is the good news. We just celebrated the glad tidings of great joy, you know, when the angels came to the shepherds and declared that Jesus, the Christ, had arrived. And that's the best newness of all. And that good news is what keeps us going, isn't it? In Christ, we discover our new nature, that we're dead to sin, but we're alive in Christ. The next verse, Romans 6:5, says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So When you walk with Jesus, the cross is about his death, but don't leave out the empty tomb. When we celebrate Christmas, it's wonderful that we celebrate his birth, but we don't stop there, do we? We have to have the crucifixion and the resurrection. You know, the fullness of Christ is what the message is to the lost and dying world. And there's two more points. He rose bodily. He ascended into heaven. Jesus is alive right now. His spirit is here alive right now with us. And he's coming back for his church. He is going to rapture his church. And there's going to be the worst time on earth ever, the tribulation. And then he's going to come and we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then a new heaven and a new earth. So we've got a lot of prophetic things still to happen. But we trust, and I think we should all take to heart, this pandemic is one of the rare things in the history of mankind where one thing has touched every single human being on earth at the same time. Aside from sin, aside from the forgiveness of God on the cross, there's not many things that have happened in the history of the world like this. There have been other pandemics, certainly. But we're all aware of it because of technology. We're able to see and hear and know what's going on more than any other people at any other time in the history of the world. And I think the Lord is just preparing us for the days ahead, because everybody's going to know when Jesus returns. And I think technology is going to be a part of that. So let's get to our first point. We're going to be here all day. Number one, death to sin. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Baptism is immersion, right? That's another word for it. It immerses us into his death, so we die to sin. When you immerse yourself, I love that word, when you immerse yourself in the things of God, it's if the Bible was a swimming pool, and you jump in, if God's way of life for you was a swimming pool, and you jump in and you immerse yourself, you're completely covered by forgiveness or by the love of God, his love, his forgiveness envelops you, wraps around you, and you can't help but get to know God because you're immersed in him, in his love. How do you do that? In prayer, in service, in fellowship, everything we do as a church. We have to be careful of holding back, don't we? If we're isolated, understandable, especially because of COVID. That's one thing. But if we choose, let's say we didn't have COVID right now, if we choose to be isolated, we choose to say, oh, you know, I don't feel like going to church this morning. I'd rather watch the NFL or, you know, have a long breakfast or something. Then we're missing out on the things of God. We're missing out on his fellowship, his love for us. So important to immerse ourselves in the things of God. Before we knew Christ, our nature was made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the spirit is flipped with the flesh, with the body. So now, in Christ, we are spirit, soul, and flesh. The spirit helps us overcome the flesh so that we are stronger when we face temptation. We're able to say, no, get behind me, Satan, I'm not going there. So we have that inner strength that God gives us. We're sinners still, but we're forgiven sinners. Big difference. We're saved by grace. So if someone asks you what's new, you could say, well, I'm no longer a slave to sin. And just watch for the expression on their face. You know, they probably say, oh, that's good for you, right? But hopefully you'd make them think a little bit. I don't know. But we're no longer slaves to sin. We're slaves to Christ. And that's a good thing. We're bond servants by choice to our Savior and our Lord. We get saved. We receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as our first step in our walk with Christ. But the rest of the walk is Jesus truly being our Lord, the Lord of our life, day in and day out. So he is our Savior and our Lord. So important to keep that in mind as we walk with him. And he gives us a heart to be like him. When we're saved, our nature is changed, our life is changed, so there's no condemnation for us. Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what gives us the freedom to live guilt-free. It gives us the freedom to have a loving relationship with a holy God, even though the righteousness in us is worthless. It's his righteousness in us that makes the difference. So our first baptism is unto death. The word baptism, again, in the Greek does mean immersion. It's a submersion also of calamities and afflictions with which one is quite overwhelmed. So all of us, to some degree, can get overwhelmed by life, finances, health, family relationships, just coming out of the holidays, the difficulties, the complexities of all of that. But the question is what are you immersed in now? What dominates your thinking in your mind? What distracts us again from the things of God? It's that immersion in Christ that gives us the breakthrough, really, that we need to be able to walk with him and to focus on the new life that he has for us without distractions again. Acts 26:18. Our goal, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Again, when we realize God's forgiveness for us, when we truly take it to heart and not take it for granted, that's what makes a difference in our relationship with him, our relationship with others, how we live our life, and it's what keeps life fresh. So it's important for us to every day to ask to be renewed, to discover that great love that God has for us and that nature he's given us to be more like him. In other words, we have to practice righteousness. We have to practice right living for God and never take it for granted. Oh, I got this. How can you, as a Christian, say, yeah, I got this Christian thing? It doesn't work that way, doesn't it? Because the challenges, the temptations, the struggles, they don't stop coming, do they? The spiritual warfare doesn't stop. We can't stop. We're spiritual sharks, if you will. We got to keep swimming through this ocean of life. Because if we stop, we die. If we stop, we have the potential to fall back into the old life. We've got to be so careful of that. Second point, life in Christ. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Resurrection day. What do we say? He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's so important for us to take that resurrection day, that one day on the calendar, and take to heart that he needs to rise in us every day. We need to see our risen Lord high and lifted up every single day. Is Christ alive in you today? If not, ask, seek, and knock that his spirit is alive and well in you. We have two dogs living inside of us. The evil dog and the good dog. Which dog are you going to feed? Right? Feed the good dog. Okay? And let's make sure that the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we interact, it glorifies God. And we are able to do the work that he's giving us to do. Back to baptism, when you are baptized and as a new Christian, and you're dunked, you're immersed into the water, symbolically, you're leaving that old nature dead underwater. And you're risen up to that new life in Christ, that new man, that new creation in Christ is risen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism declares to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. We all need to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever. We need the Holy Spirit in our prayers. We need the Holy Spirit in our gatherings. We need the Holy Spirit in worship, in everything we do as believers, in our day-to-day jobs. We need to be more conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Part of this verse says, just as Christ was raised. Whenever we see something that says we need to act just as Jesus did, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called Christians. It means we're little Christs, we're little Jesuses, and we need to live as he did. Jesus told us how to do that. He said, you got to pick up your cross and die. Tough message, isn't it? Husbands need to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives need to submit like Jesus submitted to God. Children need to obey like Jesus obeyed the Father. We're all called to live just as Christ lived. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Every single day we need to become more and more like Jesus. Thirdly, the newness of life. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Now, it doesn't say stand still in the newness of life, or crawl in the newness of life, or run in the newness of life. Standing still, we don't make any progress at all, do we? And there's no growth. Crawling means we're just barely making it as a Christian. Maybe we're malnourished, or we're not bearing any fruit because we're not getting fed the Word of God. And it doesn't say run. Jesus didn't run anywhere. We have to be careful of running through this life and then praying and saying, God, I need this, this, and this on our checklist, and wondering where he is when the answers don't come. They're going to come in his perfect timing. That's the way it works. But we walk, right? We walk as Christians, and Ephesians 5 illustrates this so beautifully. It says to walk in love, walk in the light, walk in wisdom, or walk circumspectly. And when we walk with Jesus on that narrow path, and we know he is with us with every step, that's what brings our peace and joy and love, and know that he's right here, right now, in our midst, because we're gathered in his name. So how's your walk? How's your walk with the Lord today? Can it be better? It can always be better, can it? I think a good prayer for 2021 is to go deeper with the Lord in everything we do, in how we worship him, how we walk as Christians, the things we say and do, how we treat our families, how we interact with each other. how we deal with our own sinful tendencies. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 says that you put off, concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man. Wear it like a cloak. Wear it like a coat that covers you, and it covers your heart, so that we can truly be more like Jesus. The newness of life comes from who we are now in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new in Christ today, but we also have a future, don't we? We have a wonderful future. What did Apostle Paul say about in Philippians? To live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't have a death wish, certainly, but I don't have any fear of death, because I know I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be with my saved family. I'm going to be with saved friends, and we're going to get to see the prophets and the founding fathers, and it's going to be a great renewal in heaven. And that's really what this life is about, is being ready to go, like we talked about last week, being rapture ready. But we have a great future. Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Entirely different planet. New heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I'm looking forward to that. That is heaven. That is one of the most beautiful definitions of heaven. No more sorrow. Revelation 21:5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. When we can see life, the newness of life, the fullness of life through God's eyes, it brings a fresh perspective on our faith, on our walk with God, on how to be a Christian today, and with all of this that we're dealing with. So the challenge for us is to discover this step by step, day by day. Have you discovered this new life in Christ? Where does your peace come from? Where does your help come from? Where does your hope come from? Where does your love come from? It all comes from the Lord. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord today, ask yourself these questions, because the world is always going to let you down. The world can only lie and deceive you about finding these things. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that God gives us is eternal. And it's what makes us whole. That's the newness of life. It's not about a date on a calendar. Now, 2021 is just a number. My age is just a number. You know, I don't embrace that number. I embrace what God is doing in my life here and now today. As long as we can stay healthy, right? That's what we pray for. We can still serve Him, can't we? And that's a full life. It's about the state of your heart towards God. In the cross, there's forgiveness. In Christ, there's a better life and a new life. Pray to discover your life in Christ, and you'll discover the newness of life. Walk as a Christian and discover what God has for you, to daily put death to sin, to immerse your life in Christ, and to thrive in the newness of life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word, God, and thank you for this full new life you give us in Christ. And if there's anyone out there today who doesn't know life in Christ and how wonderful it can truly be, you can just ask for it by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, by repeating this simple prayer after me. So wherever you're at, whether you're here or you're watching online, just close your eyes and bow your heads and just repeat this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Fill me, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you receive Jesus Christ,